Best in Sega vocal tracks. This is the voice of Sega with Dr. Scott Nick.
つ迎えり道、優しい声が響く、遥かな昔から知る母の温かさを、愛され
Hello everyone and welcome to The Voice of Sega here on Radio Sega. What we just started off the show with was We Are Burning Rangers from Burning Rangers. We played that song because True in the Discord chat requested another Burning Rangers song, but unfortunately I spoiled it by playing my show over the top of it, so in memoration of that lost song, I played Burning Rangers. Then after that, we had No Matter the Distance, the game opening version from Valkyria Chronicles. And after that, we had Puyo Puyo, the rock version from the Puyo Puyo Vocal Tracks album. So, welcome back to the second episode of this series of The Voice of Sega. This week, we shall be talking about Nintendo on a Sega radio show? Sure, why not? We'll be talking about Nintendo, we'll be talking about Sega quite a bit, because there's a lot of Sega stuff to talk about. We're going to be talking about Valkyria Chronicles mainly, because I finished that game the other day. It took me a long time, but I finished it. We'll be talking about the latest episode of Sonic Boom as well, which was quite strange. True just said in the chat, he sounds so young, you're all like kids. Yes, I am. Well, actually, technically, I'm no longer a kid. Last year I turned 18, so I'm an adult, which is unbelievable. I still can't believe it. I don't feel like it, and I probably won't for years to come. So, let's go back into some more music, and then we'll be back to talk about all the news. And there's a lot to talk about. So coming up next from Samba de Amigo, we have The Macarena. Enjoy.
Macarena, que tu cuerpo es para darle alegría, cosa buena. Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena. Macarena. We'll be right back.
Macarena.
Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena, que tu cuerpo para darle alegría, cosa buena. Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena.
Macarena.
Macarena, tengo un amigo que se llama, de apellido Vitorino, en la dura de bandera del muchacho.
Ay.
Se llama de apellido Vitorino, en la dura de bandera del muchacho. Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena, que tu cuerpo para darle alegría, cosa buena. Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena.
Macarena. Ay.
Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena, que tu cuerpo para darle alegría, cosa buena. Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena. Macarena.
Ay.
Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena, que tu cuerpo para darle alegría, cosa buena. Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena. Macarena.
The news.
And welcome back to The Voice of Sega here on Radio Sega. What we just had there was Macarena from Somebody Amigo. Then after that we had Techno Pathetic, the Ollie King edition. And because True wanted it so very much, we played the Macarena again. This episode is just turning into the voice of True. Because we started off the song with a voice for True. And we've ended off the last segment, music segment, with a voice for True as well. So I hope you enjoy that. But anyway, let's go into some news, why don't we? And we're gonna go into the big stuff straight away. So yesterday, Nintendo had a presentation in Japan for the Nintendo Switch. It was at a rather different time for most Nintendo streams. They usually do them so they're more watchable for people in America and England. But this time, they were just like, nah, screw those guys, let's just focus on Japan and Australia as well. Because for me, it was on at 12 p.m., which was a fairly decent time, unlike London, or England, I should say, where it was 4 a.m. When it was being streamed. But regardless of the time, the Switch event happened. And I have positives and negatives to say of it. I am a massive, massive Nintendo fan, so I know that I'm personally going to get the Switch, either at launch or very close to launch, because I'm just that much of a Nintendo fanboy. But I can see the negatives of it from a mainstream consumer, or a, in quotation marks, hardcore gamer from like a Xbox One or a PS4. They didn't show much stuff that will make people want to get the Switch, in my opinion. And people say yes, but they showed off The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and that game looks amazing. I haven't been hyped for a Zelda game like that probably forever, I don't think, because I wasn't really that hyped for Skyward Sword personally, but this game just looks amazing. But at the same time, if you're not that big into Zelda, there's nothing really else for you to make you want to get the Switch at launch. And if there's too many people who don't like Zelda, and in the end the Switch orders in March aren't too high, that's not going to look very good for investors. And I'm not sure how Nintendo are going to deal with that, if it's going to be good or not for them. And they also showed that the launch window for the Switch isn't the best thing ever. There's a few great games coming out. We've got Legend of Zelda coming out day one, which, that's good. And then all the other games are just pretty meh, so it's just that game. Then we've got Splatoon 2 coming out a few months later. Then we've got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is sort of like, eh. It's basically just a port of Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U, so not many reasons to upgrade from a Wii U to a Switch if you have one, because people are already getting Legend of Zelda, they've already got Mario Kart 8. But I feel Switch sales are definitely going to rise when the new Mario game comes out, Mario Odyssey. it is called. And personally, this looks like one of the best Mario games since Super Mario Galaxy, in my opinion. Super Mario 3D World was a fun game, but it didn't have the charm of a proper 3D Mario game like Sunshine or Galaxy. When they started showing it off during the presentation, my thoughts on the game went from, oh, this is still Splatoon, to, oh, is it a Bayonetta? Bayonetta 3? That's what I then thought. And then I was like, wait a second, is this a Sonic Adventure DX HD remaster? And then Mario came out, and I was very confused. I was like, what, is this GTA Mario? What is this? But yeah, that game looks absolutely gorgeous. I love how they showed off that one level of the open world, sort of New York landscape. It looks absolutely beautiful. Then they showed off other levels, which one of them reminded me of the forest level from Sonic 06. Then we had this really colourful level. And we also had the sort of Wild West, sort of Mexican-like place as well. So I feel when that game comes out, Switch sales are going to go through the roof, because that game looks absolutely gorgeous. And you've also got good old Pimp Bowser as well. Green Viper says in the chat, you remind me of the forest level from Sonic 06. Oh, Green Viper is such a babe. But then we had this other game announced during the Switch event, and that was called ARMS. Probably one of the most stupidest names for a video game ever, in my opinion. It made me and my friend Luke just laugh so much. Like, it's a game you use your arms to punch each other, and of all the names they could have come up with, it was just ARMS. Alright then. But the actual gameplay of the game is very, very interesting. It does look like quite a lot of fun, and I'm actually quite looking forward to what it, to how it turns out. A lot of the character design and level design did remind me of Overwatch, so I think they're taking a little bit of inspiration from that and that massive popularity to try to get more of an appeal for the game. But I did watch some gameplay of it, and it does look good. I wish it did have a normal button gameplay setup instead of all just motion controls, because personally I don't mind motion controls. I'm pretty into the motion control scene, but there's a lot of people who absolutely despise it. So hopefully some people get to try it out, because it looks fun. During the event they also showed off 1-2 Switch, which a lot of people were giving it way too much hate for. They're all going like, what is this? This isn't what we asked for. This isn't for the hardcore gamers. Because, well, it's not supposed to be for hardcore gamers. If you want to sell a system, it has to appeal to everyone. And I feel like the Switch appeals to Nintendo fans. It appeals to mainstream people. In a way, hopefully. But I'm not convinced it's really sold over the hardcore, so to say, gamers, because we didn't see any Battlefield, we didn't see any Call of Duty, no Assassin's Creed, or any ports of any of the old ones, no Dark Souls, because apparently that was coming, and you might be thinking to yourself, yes, it'll be coming out later down the track. But Nintendo really do want a lot of systems sold in its early days. And there's just not a lot of games coming out soon. Yes, it's got Skyrim. I forgot about that. True just in the chat, Skyrim's happening. And yes, I've never actually played Skyrim before, so now that it's coming to a Nintendo system, I'll give it a shot, because why not? I've got to support those third party on the Nintendo Switch, so the mainstream people are happy. Personally, I don't really get a Nintendo system for third-party games. I usually play those sort of games on PC or PS4. Nintendo for me is for Nintendo games and Nintendo exclusives, and I feel that Nintendo exclusives are always worth it, because there's just so many of them compared to Xbox, for example, where you've got Halo, you got Forza, Gears of War, and then that's basically it. So it's not really that big of a deal for the Xbox for me. But anyway, back to the 1-2 Switch. Everyone was complaining over it, but I feel like this could be a really good game for parties, and it does look like it could be a lot of fun. They have this one mini game in it where you've got to milk a cow, and I can see that being definitely. I have no comment further on that game, but probably the biggest disappointment from the Nintendo Switch event was Sega. So I had my friend around during the event to watch it with me, and when Sega came up to talk about the Switch, I got very, very excited. I held my friend's hand, I was like, oh my god, what are they going to show here, what are they going to show? And the Yakuza director, what's his name again? Toshihiro Nagoshi, I believe I absolutely butchered that, comes on stage and says, hi everyone, we like the idea of the Nintendo Switch, we're going to make some games, and then just left. And I just looked at my friend, I was like, what? But after the Switch event, all of a sudden just games got announced by Sega, and I was like, couldn't you have just showcased these games during the actual event to actually get some hype around your company Sega, which, to be honest, a lot of the mainstream people see as a joke. We know that Sega make amazing games now. They've got Yakuza, they've got Valkyria Chronicles, they've got Sonic games now, which is sort of good if we ignore Sonic Boom Rise of Lyric. But if they had announced during the event that Sonic Mania was coming to the Switch, which I'm very, very excited for, we've got reconfirmed that Sonic Project 2017 is coming, and also Puyo Puyo Tetris, which we will be coming to a bit later. I feel like that could have created quite a lot of hype. Let's quickly go through the rest of the stuff they announced during the event. They also announced the new Shin Megami Tensei game, which is pretty exciting. I've never played a Shin Megami Tensei game, but I guess I'll get into that now that Sega owns Atlus, and therefore I should probably play those games because I'm a blind Sega fanboy who has to play everything Sega. They also showed off this new Square Enix RPG, which looks absolutely beautiful. It combines sort of like a 2D sprite aesthetic with a 3D world. It looks really, really good. And some Dragon Quest games. And that was about it. And they ended the show, of course, with The Legend of Zelda. And that was just a beautiful trailer. But as I said before, I don't see many hardcore gamers or many general consumers buying the Switch at launch, just for the fact that there's not many games coming out. And you might say, yes, but you have Zelda, but there's not much variety other than just Zelda. And there are people out there, which I know, who say they don't like Zelda, they don't care for Zelda, and that may hurt Nintendo, it may not, we'll have to wait and see. But personally, I'm excited for the Switch, I'm gonna get it. I'm cautious on if it's going to be a failure or not, but I know I'm going to enjoy it. I absolutely loved the Nintendo Wii U. It's probably one of the most underrated consoles. It's got amazing games. Bayonetta 2 being absolutely beautiful and amazing. If you haven't played Bayonetta 2, definitely seek it out. I doubt they'll be making a Switch port for it because Bayonetta 2 did not sell very well at all in Japan or in Europe and America for that matter. But anyway, let's move on from the Switch, and let's talk about Puyo Puyo. So earlier, late last year I should say now, some trophies for Puyo Puyo Tetris got leaked out for the PlayStation 4, and that led many to assume that Puyo Puyo Tetris was getting a Western release. I was skeptical, I wasn't 100% confirmed that this was going to happen, I was like, oh my god, this is definitely going to happen. I was cautiously optimistic of the chances of this happening. And they've announced that Puyo Puyo Tetris will be coming to the Nintendo Switch and the PlayStation 4 in May, I believe it is. Which is very, very exciting. It's unfortunately $29 for the PS4 and $39 for the Nintendo Switch. Which is a bit of a shame that it costs more on the Switch than the PS4. I'm going to be getting the Nintendo Switch version, of course. I may get the PS4 version also if I'm that much of a loser who has to get every single version because it's a Sega game. I would never do that. They also have announced that the Wonder Boy, the indie game, the Dragon's Trap, will also be coming to the Nintendo Switch in 2017, which I'm very much looking forward to. This game looks absolutely gorgeous. If you haven't seen any footage of the game, be sure to give it a search. Wonder Boy, the Dragon's Trap. It is an indie game based on the old Sega game of Monster Boy, I believe. Unless I absolutely got that wrong. I'm sure someone in the chat will tell me on that. And in some other news, non-Nintendo related, we have a Sonic 06 port for the PC. A lot of people that are saying that, wow, they've made Sonic 06 good now. Wow, wow, wow. Personally, I don't think it looks good. It still looks rather rubbish. But it's cool that they've built the whole game from the ground up. And that's rather impressive for a few people to do that. It looks really, really cool. And I look forward to seeing how they develop it and how they improve the game. Now, I believe that is all the news we have for today. But before we go on to some more songs, I've just found one extra little news piece that I want to talk about, which is that next week we'll be having a Fire Emblem Warriors Direct. We'll be seeing gameplay footage of Fire Emblem Warriors, which will be similar to Hyrule Warriors that came out on the Wii U and 3DS, next week. And I'm excited for that. So, 18th of January, be sure to tune in to that. But anyway, let's go back into some more music, and we shall return to talk about some video games we've been playing. So coming up next, from Hatsune Miku, Project Diva, Future Tone, or the Arcade, we have Afterburner. Enjoy. welcome back to the Voice of Sega here on Radio Sega. What we just had there was Afterburner from Hatsune Miku, Project Diva Future Tone, or the arcade version, up to you, whichever one you prefer to call it. Then after that, we had Vamos a Carnaval from Samba de Amigo. Green Viper said in the chat, stop with the Samba, Scott, please. So just for you, Green Viper, I'm going to play more Samba de Amigo tracks later on during the show. Green Viper said, you sound so enthusiastic, game talk. Yes, I know, I need to redo that. I'm not a fan of that little sound clip there. I need to make a better one. Anyway, welcome to Game Talk, where we talk about games. I know, how revolutionary is that? Everyone in the chat, be sure to tell me what you've been playing over the past week. And give me your thoughts on the game. For me, I have been playing Valkyria Chronicles. This is a game I've been playing for so long now, and I finally finished it about 2 days ago now, and I'm rather proud of myself. I put 58 hours into the game. If you haven't played it before, it is a strategy turn-based RPG, but also a third-person shooter as well. It is a very unique strategy turn-based RPG. There hasn't been anything like it before, but a few years later, Nintendo made their own sort of version called Codename Steam, I believe it was called, for Nintendo 3DS, which was very, very similar to Valkyria Chronicles. The story of Valkyria Chronicles is set in a alternative World War II. And it has some rather wonderful characters in it. You got the main character Welkin, he's a top lad, he is. You've got the waifu Alicia, who's just top waifu material right there. And then you have your Squad 7, which consists of a whole list of characters that you can choose and put in your squad. And each character varies, they have their own backstory, they have their own characteristics. For example, one of them is just depressed, and occasionally he'll just be like, oh, I can't be bothered doing anything, and he won't allow you to shoot or do anything like that. And, as True says, you also have Vice in the game from Skies of Arcadia, a game I haven't played, but I really want to, and I need to know more about the game. So True, be sure to tell me about this game, because I don't know all that much about it. But Valkyria Chronicles is, in my opinion, one of my absolute favourite Sega games. I absolutely loved every single moment of it. Sometimes it can get to the point where you get very, very aggravated with the game, because it is quite difficult. But it is still fun, and you want to keep going back and play more and more and more. Thankfully, though, I found a bit of a cheat to finishing the game. There's this one DLC mission where you get to play as one of the main villains in the game, and when you finish the DLC quest, you get a overpowered gun, like super overpowered, and I used that through the last four or so levels of the game to help me get through it slightly easier. I only used it when I needed to use it, which I used on the final boss, which is quite the hard one. True says in the chat, come on, are you being sarcastic? I wish I was, but I don't know all that much in Skies of Arcadia. Unfortunately, the GameCube version of the game is extremely rare and goes on eBay for quite a lot of money. And unfortunately, I don't have a Dreamcast, so I definitely need to get a Dreamcast, find a copy of Skies of Arcadia, and try that out. I also have been playing the Doctor Who game for the Steam, Doctor Who The Eternity Clock. I bought this about 2 years ago now, and I only played a few hours of it, and I saw it on my Steam list, and I was like, okay, it's time to just get this game over with and uninstall it. And it's an absolutely terrible game. I do not recommend it, even if you are a massive Doctor Who fan like me. It's not worth it at all. Green Viper in the chat said, Dreamcast, burn it, GameCube, play it through Nintendo for the Wii. Exactly, but Nintendo GameCube has a handle on it, and you can't beat a handle. The other day as well, I also purchased Hatsune Miku Project Diva Future Tone, and I don't know if I regret this life decision yet or not. I haven't played all that much of it. It seems fun, but I feel sort of ashamed of myself for buying it. Not really. But when one of my friends came out the other day, we went on my PlayStation 4 and they saw that I had the game, downloaded it, and my friend just looked at me with just disappointment in their eyes. And I was like, it's a Sega game, I've got to support Sega. And they're like, you're just a sad human being, Scott. To which I agreed. Green Viper 8 says, are you bad at it or not? I'm mediocre, one could say. There's this new sort of gameplay style to the game. I couldn't think of a proper word to say there. Where it makes you press multiple buttons at the exact same time. If you don't know, Hatsune Miku games are a rhythm game, sort of like Guitar Hero in a way, but with your controller, and it can get very, very difficult. And that's just pressing the buttons individually. But in this game, it makes you press multiple buttons at the same time, and it's just too much for me, and it just goes past, and I lose some points because of it. Green Viper says, what difficulty do you play it on? I play it on normal so far. I don't want to play on easy because that's a bit too easy. But I know I'm definitely not going to be playing it on hard because it's a bit too much for me. True says, Valkyria Chronicles is only £14.99 on Steam. If you have some money spare and you want to play a really, really good game, be sure to purchase Valkyria Chronicles for Steam. Or you can find it cheap for the PlayStation 3, or you can find it for PlayStation 4 with either a steel case if you live in America, or a art booklet if you live in Europe or Australia, which is pretty cool. And the PS4 version of the game runs at 60 frames, while the PC, for some reason, and the PS3 run at 30 frames per second. Going over to Twitter, we have some people talking about the Nintendo Switch event. So let's read that, and people in the chat, be sure to tell me what games have you been playing throughout the week. I want to hear what you've been up to. So, at Nostalgia Ninja says, the high moments of the Nintendo Switch events were the Puyo Puyo Tetris, of course, and the low points, probably the poor translator that stumbled over his words. Poor guy was stressed, yes. That was very humorous indeed. There was this one part during the event where this man came out to announce a No More Heroes 3 type game, and the actual announcer, the Japanese man, was really enthusiastic. He was like, oh yeah, and saying all this stuff. But meanwhile, the English translator had no idea what was going on. He's like, we're bringing back this character, Travis Touchdown. Look forward to that, I guess. I don't know. And that was quite humorous. And when they re-uploaded the stream up onto YouTube, they replaced him with someone brand new, which I felt was rather funny. Green Viper 8 says, they've been playing Miku, 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 so quite a bit of Miku, and the Mega Drive unofficial unreleased Dreamcast emulator, of course. True says, I thought the first guy was talking too fast. I don't really remember the speed of him. I might have to rewatch it. He might have been talking a bit fast. I'm not sure. But anyway, that is all the games I've been playing this week. Quite a few. This next week, I'm going to try to make some more progress in Tembo the Badass Elephant. That is a Sega game that came out about 2 years ago now. It's available for Xbox One, PS4, and Steam. It is a game made by Game Freak, the same people who made the Pokemon series, and is published by Sega, and is rather difficult. It's a 2D platformer. Definitely try it out, though. It's pretty good. It's not amazing, it's not bad. It's pretty good so far. But anyway, let's go into some more music. Coming up next, we've got my favourite song from the Shrek soundtrack. It is Livin' La Vida Loca. Enjoy. The Boom Review with Dr. Skotnik. And welcome back to The Voice of Sega. Here on Radio Sega, what we just had there was Levin La Vida Loca from Samba de Amigo. Then after that, we had the Magical Sound Shower, a remix of Outrun. A remix from Outrun, I should say, from Hatsune Miku Project Diva Arcade / Future Tone. Then after that, we had another Samba de Amigo track. We're playing a lot of those tonight. We had Take On Me, because this is the voice of True. So now it's time for the Boom Review, where I look back at the previous week's Sonic Boom episode and just have a little chat about it for a little while. So, the most recent episode of the Sonic Boom TV series was called something which I don't even remember what it was called, so I'm going to go and look it up right now. So just bear with me for a second. It was called Multi-Tales, and personally, I feel like this is one of the weakest episodes this series so far, for multiple reasons. Number one being the story wasn't all that great. Basically, the general plot of this story is Tails makes a new contraption called this Doom Apocalypse Shield Thingy Majiggy. Yes, that was its full name. Where basically it creates a shield around the village and Dr. Eggman can't attack their town anymore. But Dr. Eggman drills from underneath and attacks the town anyway. So Tails is like, ah, screw that. That is a stupid invention. So then comes up with this cloning device. I don't know how it got to that, but it did. And Tails ends up splitting himself into 10 other versions. And every single time he splits himself, his intelligence gets less and less until he's basically more stupid than Knuckles. They do some funny things with it. Not really clever though. Mainly just Tails being an idiot. And then you get this moment where Tails goes to Dr. Eggman's base and walks in on Dr. Eggman in the shower. And that was quite disturbing, to say the least. You see Eggman's naked upper half, and it's not something I would want to see again, to be honest. And Tails is like, hey, Eggman, let's be friends. Eggman's like, yeah, sure, go get me my towel. Tails can't find it, so Eggman ends up using the shower curtain as a towel. And I'm like, what the hell is going on in this episode? And that's basically all there is to say. After that, Eggman's like, I ain't having this, and goes to help Sonic put Tails back into one. Out of this whole series, it's been getting, every episode been getting better, 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 and better. We had the Back to the Future inspired episode, which I thought was amazing. We had the take on the mainstream media, which I thought was very, very clever, very enjoyable, and made Styx an actual fun, cool character. But this episode wasn't the best. It felt like a series one episode where it was very hit or miss. And another thing I felt was the animation this series so far had got really good, and all the episode looked so much better. I'm not sure if it was just the video I was watching, they might have altered it, or because the quality wasn't 1080p, but the animation quality for this episode looked very subpar compared to the rest of this series so far. It looked oversaturated in a way. The characters didn't have any texture. They felt way too bright. Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, in comparison to the world and all the other characters. So, personally, if you haven't watched any Sonic Boom Series 2, it's very meh. You may like it if you want some stupid Tails. And you're like, hey, Tails being stupid, give me some of that, please. And if you want to see Eggman naked, go watch that. You may like that. And it's 2017 now. You could do what you want. You can like Dr. Eggman being naked. I won't hold that against you. Maybe a little bit, but regardless. If you haven't watched any series 2, I recommend watching Nutwork and the episode after. Those two episodes are absolutely fantastic. really good, amazing, definitely watch those. Other than that, yeah, this episode was a no for me. Doomgirl says in the chat, I like Sonic X more. Speaking of Sonic X, I've been watching the I've started to watch the Japanese dub of Sonic X because I've never actually watched it before. I had only watched the English 4Kids dub, which is a bit of a mistake. And I'm quite enjoying it so far. The animation, as we all know, isn't the best in this show, but the writing is much more funny in the Japanese version. You hear Sonic swear. He says the S word, which was rather humorous. And later on, you see Shadow the Hedgehog punch Tails, and there's blood. So I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, if you have seen the latest episode of Sonic Boom, Multi Tails, I believe it was called. I forgot again. Yes, Multi Tails. If you've seen it, let me know what you thought on Discord or on Twitter. Send me a message at Voice of Sega or at Radio Sega. Now, let's go back into some more music, and we're going to end off the show tonight. A rather early finish tonight, but unfortunately, I'm a bit busy tonight, so I can't go the full 2 hours. But anyway, coming up next, from Virtual Fighter 3 on the vocal, we have Heat Haze, The Hall. Enjoy.
Too hot for the air to get to.
The Voice of Sega with Dr. Skotnik.
Welcome back to The Voice of Sega here on Radio Sega. What we just had there was Heat Haze the Hall from the Virtual Fighter 3 soundtrack. If you were listening to the live version of this show, you have noticed I accidentally cut the next song a little bit too early, but I'm not sure many people minded because after that we had a absolute tune from Mad World. It was Brief, probably one of my favourite tracks from Mad World, a game I haven't played in quite a while. I'm only a few levels into that game, but I'm going to attempt to play a bit more of it over the week, maybe even finish the game. I don't know, it's very overdue. And then after that, we had Samba de Amigo from, of course, Samba de Amigo. Now, unfortunately, this brings us to the end of the show. Oh no. But yes, my shows will usually vary in length, from about an hour to an hour and a half, because there's no show afterwards, so I've got quite a bit of time to play with. And last week the show went for an hour and a half with a little bit extra, as you remember, with the Voice of Sega Extra, but this week it will just be the main show, and we'll be back next week to have a little giveaway. I'll be putting up a show blog later on discussing a bit more in depth about that, but I've decided I'm going to give something away because I feel kind at the moment. So look forward to that. So let's go and see what other shows are on Radio Sega, why don't we? So let's go over to the show schedule and let's just run down all the shows that there are over here. We have the Manic Monday show on Mondays at 8 p.m. UK time, hosted by my beloved KC, Mr. Handsome, Mr. Sexy, just Mr. Everything. Then on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. we have the chart topping show with good old Ravi. I love the Ravi. Ravi's great. We have the Opinion Zone hosted by the Sonic Show lads on Tuesdays 10 p.m. UK time. After that, we have good old Sega Addicts AM hosted by Rainmaker and occasionally Stevie Grant at 12 o'clock midnight UK time. I have been a viewer of Sega Addicts website for years now. They're one of the first Sega fan sites I actually started reading. And I even wrote for their site for a little while as well, which was quite fun. And the Sega Addicts people are absolutely great people. I used to listen to the old podcast back in the day, the Sega Addicts podcast, the original run of it, with the original hosts. And we also had the Sega Addicts Kids Table hosted by Stevie Grant and a few other people. And that was just the best thing ever. If you can get your hands on that, the Sega Addicts Kids Table, do try to give those a listen because they're just hilarious. Wednesdays, 10 p.m. UK, we have the Hidden Palace Zone with Skyblaze. On Fridays, 9 p.m. UK, with good old Rexy, we have Sega Mixer Drive, the best remix show, way better than Dr. Scotnik's Mean Remix Machine. That was just trash. On Saturdays, Saturday, 2 a.m. UK time, we have RSN Live with Voice, Mr. Voice, Mr. Sexy, as I like to call him. Then, Saturdays, 3 p.m. UK time, probably the worst show. Actually, no, we're coming to the worst show a bit later on, the second worst show. We have The Voice of Sega, of course, hosted by your boy, your man, Dr. Scotnik. Mondays, 1 a.m. for me, which is Sundays, 5 p.m. for UK people, with PT Kickass. It is the Blue Zone. And then, unfortunately, Sunday, 7 p.m., we have the Dreamcast Hour with Green Viper 8. Ugh. Green Viper 8 says in the chat, ha ha ha, you're so funny. I know, I'm hilarious. Anyways, thank you very much for listening to today's show. I'll be sure to see you all next week. Coming up next, we have... From Samba de Amigo, of course, we have Macarena again, just for true. Enjoy.
Macarena, que tu cuerpo es para darle alegría, cosa buena. Dale a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena, Macarena.
Pleasure arrives the sun.